You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Accentuate it this week.
Welcome to episode 19 of Knockouts and Three Counts.
Who's that?
Wait. Uh-oh. I'm hearing CeeLo in my ear right now.
I can't hear much of anything right now.
My bad.
We good? We good? We good?
We're good.
Okay.
Switching right. Back to manual. Resetting the song for the break.
Okay. Take two.
It's good to be back on the show. I missed last week's show because I was sick as hell. But it's good to be back. And how you guys doing today?
No, he just didn't love us no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Something like that. Can I get my earphones turned up a little bit?
Turn your headphones up.
Please.
Turn them shits up.
You're seven.
All right.
I can't see it. It's over here.
Are we good? Are we good?
Testing.
One, two. Wow, that's hurt. Everybody headphones up. Okay. Okay. All right.
Everybody's
good. Can you hear?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, you try. You listen and see if I'm tripping or...
You might be tripping. Let's see.
Okay, now say something.
No, you're not tripping.
This is some compelling audio right here.
But screw it.
Here we go.
Hey, we're here. I was going to use those. Knockouts and three counts.
Five-man walking clusterfuck.
We are here.
That's a great way to start off a show.
Look, we got a special guest in here. We got to look better than this, guys. We got to get this shit together, okay?
A little late for that.
Well, let's go ahead and go around the table, give everybody social media and all that good stuff. Let's start off with the man with the hat on, Kev.
I got a hat on, too.
Yeah, everybody, my name is Kevin. On Facebook, I'm Kevin D. Russ.
Your name is Ken?
Yeah, Kev.
Kev.
On Instagram and
Twitter.
He
didn't tell you your mom didn't love you.
He didn't, though.
I didn't get to it yet.
Wait a minute. He was waiting.
He didn't get there. All right. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm _ made in the 80s.
His mama does love him this day.
Okay. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social media, sir?
You can find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, NOKOUT.
Mr. Thunder.
That's me. I'm Tony Thunder everywhere except for Twitter. I'm the Tony Thunder because I'm going to report the other Tony Thunder tomorrow. He ain't reported. He ain't tweeted since 2013. He ain't got no likes or followers. Give me my name.
All right. You got anything coming up, sir? Any shows?
We'll get back to that.
Ooh, okay. Well, I am Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. And yeah, hey, if you're looking for a car, make sure you hit up SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Check out the inventory. And when you go in there to buy your car, Tony.
Oh, here we go.
Ready?
39.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead and hit up that nice little reference code.
The reference code is 1939.
No. That's 1939. That's 19309.
Okay, so it's still 1939, but it's 1939.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just had to clarify.
Okay. All right. Enough of this shenanigans. Let's welcome our.
You can't even spit it out.
Randy. I've had podcast juice. Podcast juice is a word. We've had podcast juice. So, all right. Let's welcome our very special. You know what? Tony, I think you should make this intro. I think you should do this one, sir.
I should make this intro. This is, ladies and gentlemen, you see him on TV. You see, okay, keep it going. Come on now. Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
here we
Christ.
Go. He is Steve. The Monster Savage, Osiris Congo Kong Wilson, he is here with us. Yes.
Mr. Congo Kong, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Glad to be here.
All right, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there to the people, man, so they can know where to follow you?
You can catch me at Real Congo Kong on Twitter. Catch me under Steve Wilson or Congo Kong / The Juggernaut Osiris on Facebook. Instagram is CongoCyrus78, all one word.
All right. So, Tony, I think you should start this one off, sir.
I should start this one off?
Wrestler to wrestler, man. I want
okay, well, there is something that we do on every show with the wrestlers. I'm going to start it off with this.
Okay.
I always just randomly do it. We have this thing going where it's like a locker room etiquette for younger guys. you know, to give them something to fall back on and to look at from a guy like yours' perspective of what to do and what not to do. I think me and Sean Tyler started it off with shake everybody's hand. I think that's one of the first things you should be taught. And, you know, when it comes to this, Mysterious Movado really pinpointed on that and went to further details behind it. Humor Tornado said, keep your baby mamas, your girlfriends, and your kids out the locker room. He went on that one. And last week, the Pally Prince, he said, what was his? Oh, wash your gear before every show. Make sure you wash your gear for every show. Is there something you want to add to one of those, or if you want to add something to the list yourself?
Wash your balls.
Wash your balls as well.
There's absolutely nothing worse. And your breath. And your breath. Nothing worse than going to meet somebody and you're standing 3-4 feet away from them. You can smell them talking to you, and you get weak in the knees, and you're like, ah, you need to do something about that. You know, there's a lot of that, and young guys need to know that, you know, you make a bad impression. Nobody wants a stinky person around.
That's right. Now, we were talking about a couple of things. We had most of the best parts so far is before the show even started. Is there anything that you want to go through, Kyle, to go backtrack, or, you know, anything that we were talking about before the show?
I just want to say, just shout out to the Pally Prince. I think his interview was pretty insightful. Shout out to Andre on his big win.
Oh, nice. He won.
Yeah, he won.
Get up, imaginary.
And he was friggin' 5'2" fighting a big giant motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a good night of fights. I liked the show last week. Like I said, his interview was real insightful. It was cool.
Nice.
Even though Devin don't love us no more because he decided.
I was sick, man.
He was sick. Oh, man.
I told you guys well ahead of time, like, I'm probably not going to make it, man. But we got Congo Kong.
He bought his hat in today like he do. Usually, that's his signature hat, y'all. He gets down on the grill. If you catch him out there at the family reunion, you know he got the flip-flops on and he about to bring you some delicious barbecue.
And, I saw that post y'all put up on the page, man. Whoever put that up, fuck you very much. But oh, by the way, Kong, anything flies here on this show. We have a disclaimer before the show because of this guy right here, so anything flies. But let me ask a quick question, man. So,
my mama might be watching, so
uh-oh.
No.
Oh,
sorry, so mama, we're going to keep this very PG, people.
You ain't met Miss Wilson. So.
That's a good point, sir.
But yeah. I have a quick question. It's not very often that when I come into the studio that the guest is bigger than I am. So
here we go.
So one of the questions that I had is one of the bigger wrestlers in the business, man. Is there a big man style, and do you subscribe to that big man style?
Yeah, it's called not leaving your feet unless absolutely necessary. It's part of the storytelling. When you look back and you watch Andre and Vader and Bam Bam and Akeem or One Man Gang, or, you know, those bigger guys from back in the day, they hardly ever left their feet.
Right.
And when they did, it meant something. So, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, they choose to bump around all day, but I'm almost 40. I ain't.
How long have you been doing this?
19 years.
19
Ooh,
years.
19. Nice. Oh, geez.
Where did you start your training?
I started off in Grand Rapids, Michigan under a company called PW3, Pro Wrestling Worldwide. And that lasted about a month or so. The trainer that they had brought in, Joe Ortega, started up another company in Holland, Michigan called Lakeshore Wrestling Organization. And I was there for about a good 2 years before leaving to go play football in Indiana.
Oh, nice. What position did you play?
Anything on the line, everything on the line, offense and defense.
Okay. Where'd you play at?
University of St. Francis out of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
2-time defending national champions.
Oh,
oh yeah.
And I got to be part of the first year of an undefeated team, so feel pretty proud of them and glad to see that they're still having success after all these years, because that was back in 2003 I quit playing.
Oh, nice. And I know you progressed a lot since then to the point where, you know, from being trained 19 years ago to training guys now. Do you still have your class? Are you still training guys? Was that a one-time thing? Or?
Well, sometimes things happen and buildings get new ownership and they're like, oh, we don't want that pro wrestling in here because insurance, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So the training class right now is at a halt, but I still have my students and whenever I can or whenever I'm with them, you know, I make sure that we go to shows early enough that, you know, we can get in there and roll around and I can teach them whatever, you know, whatever's available that day.
Okay. What are some of your favorite? Do you want to give any shout out to your trainees out there that might be listening?
There's quite a few of them. if I start calling names, somebody's going to get left out and get a little butt hurt. And, yeah. You know, I love all my kids, all the adopted ones and the real ones, all of you.
So you got kids off the books, is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kev, you got a question for Mr. Kong?
Yes. What is your like your favorite promotion that you ever worked for?
Border City.
Border City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it, you show up early in the day, but you know, you don't, and you're like, why do I need to show up at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Scott DeMora runs it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you get there and you understand that, you know, you got to get ready and do pre-tapes and, eat catering at a certain time and do all your things before show. And before you know it, it's showtime. So the day goes pretty fast. And realistically, it's a setup for getting you ready for TV. Had I not, you know, done 4 years of Border City, I wouldn't have been as ready for, Impact as I was. They pushed a mic up on my face and then I burned.
It's a setup.
But, Border City runs on both sides of Canada and here in Detroit, right? So, do you still work for Border City, or is that a promotion that's kind of in the past?
No, I'm the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you carry a few titles, don't you?
Yeah.
What titles do you hold right now? Man, I mean, like, I don't even got to name them all day.
Don't do that. Oh. It's quite a few. And now, I don't want to leave nobody out.
It's kind of like your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Your titles are
exactly because promoters get mad. Oh, you didn't give us a shout out. Yeah, man. I can't remember where I worked yesterday, let alone where I'll be next week. So, I mean, and that's a blessing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, it's a lot of places sometimes.
All right, and I just want to call out Kyle because I mentioned that you had some questions before we got on the air that you were like, yeah, shout out to Sal for that good show last week. No, like we were talking about like Jimmy Jacobs.
No, I agree, but I thought you were talking about, you said to talk about the show from last week, motherfucker. That's why I said it.
I said that?
I could swear you did.
Oh, no.
I was talking about what we
said. Stop fighting!
I didn't understand it like that. I'm
Look here.
Come on, man.
I've had a rough day, okay? For you, those of you motherfuckers that don't know, I got a fucking flat tire right before I got here. So
yeah, that sucks.
Fuck my life right now.
Yo, 75 North, I swear
to
God.
That's where I got it, right? When I got on 75 North.
My cars.
20 people. Like, even one pulled up next to me. Pow! I was like, what was that?
And he it's proof over. It ain't just me. Hot damn it, or my driving.
Yeah, man. That
there was no way around it. It's right when you get on the on-ramp off of 94. There's no way around it. Like, you can't get onto the shoulder because it's so narrow. There's no nothing you're going to do about it.
Yeah.
Michigan, you're just going to take
Governor of Michigan, fix your damn roads.
I'm going to be making a claim against the state. Yep. Because y'all motherfuckers are going to pay for my rim.
Oh, man. We were talking about Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah, but we were talking about that before the show. So, we've seen that you've got Jimmy Jacobs with you now. Tell us a little bit about, like, what that's like having him with you, like your thoughts on Jimmy as a whole now that he's in Impact, the whole thing.
Well, when I first saw Jimmy, I was actually at home during Bound for Glory, and so I was watching – online, the pay-per-view, and I saw him making his appearance right after he had been released from WWE, and I was like, wow. I was like, what if they put him with me? That would be awesome, but probably not. Whatever. And just kind of shook it off and didn't pay any attention to it. Well, later that week, I arrived to Ottawa for tapings, and I see him, and we hug each other because we've known each other for almost 20 years now because I was actually trained with Jimmy.
Okay.
Back when he was Big Bully Jimmy Jacobs and Osiris, we were a tag team.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got, you know, quite a bit of history. And he told me, he said, hey, did you know they were putting this together? And I was just like, oh, that is so good. Like, because, you know, to have somebody that's in the creative room, not only going to bat for you, but in your corner, you know, you're going to get some good deals out of it. So,
right.
Kind of, you know, relaxed me about things that were going on at the time, you know, in Impact. So, I'm glad. I'm so looking forward to, you know, everything that we get to do, you know, from here on out.
Nice. I heard you say you were in Ottawa when you found out you're going to be working with them. Where do you guys, what cities do you guys go to? How's that schedule working with TNA and working, you know, the independents as well?
Mostly it's Orlando that we go down to film TV. We were looking to switch it up, I guess. There was talks of possibly going to Toronto this next time. Excuse me, burp again. I just had chicken before I got here, y'all. Y'all gotta excuse me. And it was so good.
Shout out to Chicken Shack.
Yeah, Chicken Shack.
If you want to sponsor the show.
Thank you very much. But yeah, mostly Orlando, and the schedule is really cool. It's really laid back. You know, we go down, I say once every other month or something like that, and record for 4 or 5 days. And we film, you know, a couple episodes a day. You know, we get a lot done in that little time that we're there. And it allows us to take pretty much whatever independent bookings we want.
Okay, nice. Nice.
Well, you kind of brought up, I don't know if you were trying to skirt around it or whatever, that the TNA, you were kind of, I guess you were feeling a little bit unrest, you know, being there, whatever. So there's been a lot of changes at, Impact. Can you talk about, you know, how things are now compared to, you know, when you first got there?
I mean, yeah, I can say that I'm a lot more relaxed with Scott D'Amore and Don Callis in charge than I have been in the past. I feel like I can go in and I can be Kong and not be somebody's perceived notion of what Kong should be or who Kong should be, how Kong should act.
Okay.
You know, I felt like before they, you know, kind of wanted to turn me into Kamala or Abdullah the Butcher or, you know, and I try my best to, while incorporating a lot of those guys and a lot of their styles, steer away from being just like any one of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it gotten to a point where I was just like, you know, I don't know how long this is going to last because this ain't even cool. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to combat, you know, these years of stereotypes of black wrestlers, and y'all got me going out trying to do goofy stuff.
Right.
And it just wasn't working for me. You know, and now I feel like they get me. You know, they understand that the character is more of a monster than it is a big, dumb, wild savage, because I never intended on Kongo Kong being a big, dumb savage at all.
Right.
You know, Warrior was a savage, but he was intelligent.
Right.
Difference besides, obviously, the body and the steroids and all that is that I don't talk. I choose not to talk. You know, I try to let my actions speak a little louder than, you know, my words.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of funny you brought that up. We, me and Kyle were able to talk to Booker T last week at Astronomicon. And one of the things that we kind of talked about was African-Americans in the wrestling business. And you brought up Kamala. And Kamala wasn't necessarily the best representation of black people.
Neither was Crime Time or
Yeah.
While we're at it, R-Truth.
hey, first the NWA champion.
It seems like every time you looked up back then, we're singing, dancing, rapping, being dumb, savages, or committing crimes, and it was just never any true role models. You know, a lot of people say, well, The Rock was the first black whatever, and I mean, kind of, I guess, but you know, not
if we count Obama, we got to count Rock.
Fair enough. But really, I guess my first black role model was Ron Simmons, and I had a chance to tell him the day that he beat Vader, which Vader was one of my favorite, is one of my favorite wrestlers of all times. Nice. Like, that moment was so real for me. Like, it just, like, even to this day, I can watch it and tear up a little bit because, you know what I mean? It was one of those situations where I felt like I could overcome anything, you know what I'm saying? Because I watched this man that I looked up to do it. And Vader was, like, the baddest mofo on the planet.
Right. And that was one of the things that we kind of talked to about Booker T, and I had to let him know. It was like, man, to see a guy that looks like me win the WCW championship 5 times and win the WWE World Championship, and, you know, Ron Simmons and Mark Henry, that did something special for me. And you were saying that you kind of wanted to avoid sort of the same areas that kind of Kamala went into. So how important was that to you? Is it to you to portray Kong as a role model and try to avoid that stereotypical area?
I'd say very important because when I first started doing the gimmick, that's how it was described to me, is that I was going to be a cross between Umaga and Kamala. And I didn't want to do it. I fought with everything, you know what I'm saying, to not do it and to not be that type of character. But the money was good, so having bills to pay, sometimes you just got to fold a little.
Right.
I just wanted to say, before we got into, you know, where the character originated from and, you know, what you wanted to do to it to make it your own, I just wanted to say, when I was a kid, I looked up to Macho Man because I thought Macho Man was black. And I remember the day my mama told me, for real, I remember the day my mama told me that Macho Man wasn't black. It broke my little heart because I was like, because, you know, my mom was very light-skinned. And we were wrestling one day, and I, like, pulled up her shirt a little bit, seen her back. And I was like, Ma, your skin white. She's like, so all your favorite wrestlers white? And I was just like, no, they not. She's like, yes, they is. I'm like, Hulk Hogan, he darker than you. She's like, no, he's white. I was like,
he's bronze.
Macho Man got nappy hair, bro. I know he black. He darker than you, too. She's like, no, Macho Man ain't black. Well, she stopped and said, he might be, but
he might be.
She wasn't sure. Macho Man was dark and his hair was nappy, so I thought Macho Man was black.
Right. He could have passed for a fro for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I thought he was black. You know, that's who I looked at. I was like, yeah, Macho Man can do it. I can.
Oh.
But no, where did the character originate? And from where it originated to where it is now, what did you do to mold it into your own?
It started, I'd say, back in like 2007 for a company called Championship International Wrestling. CIW runs usually in the southern Michigan area by a guy by the name of Phil Monahan. And he had booked me as Osiris one time. And then I was trying to figure out what I needed to do to come back. You know, what did I do wrong or whatever? And he says, I don't really have anything for Osiris, but I got an idea to run by you. You know, and if you want to do it, then, you know, cool, we can work something out. I said, okay. And then that's when he told me about the cross between Umaga and Kamala. And, you know, I kind of had, I guess, free reign to create the character and make it what I wanted at the time. But I was going based off of Umaga and Kamala. So I came up with the name Shamari, which is an African name. I don't remember what exact tribe or anything that I got it from, but
it's Wakanda. Wakanda forever.
And I did that for a couple years and just kind of did the barefoot thing and, you know, tried different looks. I tried the loincloth look, which I kind of went back to, I guess. I just have a different style now. Right. I tried, like, the giant Ming pants, you know, just doing whatever I could to try to make it different, I guess. And I worked a couple places as Shamari before the JCW thing happened.
Okay.
So
let's go to Kev real quick.
So what was the inspiration behind the face paint? How you got it done up?
At first, I was just kind of freestyling and didn't really have a set style. But when I went to go work for JCW, who actually gave me the name Congo Kong, I heard that Violent J, who's a fan of face paint, obviously, he wanted me to paint my face like my tattoo, which I stole from a video game and kind of took it and created, you know, my own thing with it. And
what game was that?
NCAA football.
What?
Yeah, one of the created team player or created team logos. Yeah,
98.
It was that same design, and I just kind of added some things to it. And it was like, I want this tattooed on me. Let's add a crown to it. Why not?
So with one of our past guests that we had on, Sheena, she told us that she had been to a lot of the different JCW shows. I've been to one myself. Tell us a little bit about JCW, your thoughts on that promotion, like all that stuff.
When I first got to JCW, I didn't know what to think. You know, sometimes you look out in the audience, you're like, well,
fuck yeah, that's what I thought the first time I went there.
What in the world is going on here? But, you know, I guess it's kind of grown on me. And then especially since Madman Pondo gave the big speech about don't throw shit. Excuse me, my. he actually did that at a gathering because, like, we were getting pelted with all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, I've tasted every flavor of Faygo there is.
Oh, wow.
You know, Faygo, battery, shoes. I remember Truth Martini when I first started, he was my manager, and he was getting pelted with all kinds of stuff, and it was ridiculous. Oh, nobody understood. Now they enjoy the wrestling for what it is and not, you know, for the circus sideshow that they thought it was at the time.
Right.
And I feel like I understand juggalos a little bit better.
Kyle's secretly a juggalo.
Get the fuck out of here. Hell no. Look, the one
he calls Faygo juggalo juice.
I do. This is news to me. Fuck. I mean, this is news to me. Hell, the one and only time I went there was when they were at the Modern. And
the Modern Exchange.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep. RIP to wrestling shows being there.
Then they had it was Necro Butcher versus just a random guy. And I'll never forget. I had just got leg surgery. It was my senior year of high school. I was sitting on there's like a couch. If you've ever been in the Modern, there's always a couch that was sitting back against the wall.
Red couch.
I'm laid there up there with my leg up because it's in a cast. Here comes Necro Butcher, comes out with a fucking light tube and smokes this dude. Like literally this close to me. I'm like, fuck, I can't even get out of the way. So I'm going to just go like this and just cover
feet up. Position. That's what you do, man.
I couldn't even get up. I was like, shit.
Well, I've got one question about the Juggalos, and then after this we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit of more current stuff. But you said you've been to the – have you ever been to the Gathering?
Yeah, I've been to several gatherings.
As a black guy.
Oh, God.
Please tell me what it's like being at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I mean, you know,
I've got to hear this.
You don't get treated any different, but you see some weird stuff. You know, you see naked people that should never – be naked in public. You see some that should be. I got some nice pictures, you know what I'm saying, with some that I'm like, okay, all right. High five to you. And you see some people in states of mind that you thought you'd probably never see live. And back in the day, they had this thing called the drug bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Where you would go, and it was literally a bridge, and people would be like, I got you this, I got you that. Whatever you need, you know what I'm saying? Hit me up, blah, blah, blah.
That's where it goes down.
It goes
down at the bridge.
Are there any?
They've gotten better, but it was definitely something to experience before you die is to go to a gathering.
Dude, Mick Foley said that.
Not
was
the drug bridge, gathering.
Is there trolls under that bridge? I imagine.
Mick Foley said straight up that was the most scared he'd ever been was when he performed at the Gathering.
Did somebody ignorant ass throw a battery at Ric Flair?
It doesn't shock me.
I heard somebody bust Ric Flair. Ric Flair, what is wrong with you?
At the Gathering?
Yeah.
Why was Ric Flair at the Gathering?
Same reason Jerry Lawler and everybody else.
I thought CM Punk said somebody did.
There was a year they were spending a lot of money to bring in a lot of big names. And, I mean, they were getting the crowds to pay for them, so it made sense. But Just you know, regular juggalos, not really knowing any better, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just doing their thing, being juggalos, you know.
Blaster Rick.
So what's the biggest name you saw get basically kicked off the stage at the gathering?
Kicked off the stage.
Because, okay, as far as I understand it, that if you're on stage and the juggalos aren't happy with you, they'll start pelting you with stuff. So, like, what's the most famous person you remember seeing at the gathering that the fans didn't really approve of?
I'm going to be honest. I'm a juggalo by paycheck. I'm a juggalo by paycheck. Once my job is done, I disappear.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, participate in a lot of the other activities or whatever, you know, in and out. I'm there as a performer. So,
right.
You know, I don't try to get into, I mean, you know, everything that they're into. Some of the people are, you know, whatever.
Right.
Trying to be politically correct.
Yeah. Why did I want you to say Joe Cornette, though? I don't know why. What if it's Andrew
Cornette? Could you imagine the promos he would cut on the people there? Holy shit.
Screw you guys. Yeah, but we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Congo Kong about his career and some a little bit more of the current products.
Got some fights to talk about, too.
Yes, sir. So we'll be right back after these quick messages. Boom. Wait, where's the song?
I may get your soul. Okay. What the fuck did they call? What the hell do they call Conrad on there, Devin?
The Alabama Dream.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back from that short break. And hey, Kyle. We're back, man.
I'm gonna kick you in your fucking nose. All right.
That's not the line.
First the nose, then the dick.
So we're back. I felt like since we have a current, I keep wanting to say TNA. I don't want to keep saying TNA. Since we have a current Impact Wrestling star right here in the studio, talk to us about where Impact is right now and where they're going as far as storylines. Your storyline, your. Looking for a certain man by the name of Abyss right now. So talk to me about where you are right now and where you see the company going in the future, man.
First of all, allow me to clarify because a lot of people are confused on what to call it. They're like, is it GFW? Is it TNA?
Is it Impact?
It's Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
Second of, what are we doing? I just destroyed. I have to go by what happened on TV.
The last thing they had was you guys destroying the office.
Yeah, that was fun. that was a lot of fun. I'm hunting Abyss down. You know, sometimes you got to find the biggest guy in the yard and take him out just to establish dominance. And that's kind of where we're aiming, where we're trying to go. You know, and no spoilers given away here. If you want those, you read the dirt sheets, I guess.
Would it be a spoiler to ask, what is it like working with him?
No, not at all, because I've worked with him beforehand.
Okay. What is it like working with other big men to where you can, you know?
It's
that story being told is what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's different. You know, you don't have to go out there and, you know, catch a million dives or toss anybody around. You tell a different kind of story, and it's kind of a story of two titans, you know, right. And you know, if you do it right, people will want to pay attention and they'll want to watch. And I think, you know, we managed to capture that and make it work.
So how did you enjoy working with Laura Van Ness?
Man, that was so fun. she did that role so great.
I was just about to say that. She played the shit out of that.
Such a good character. It was really kind of poetic the way it happened. I thought when I came in that I'd be a part of the Decay at first. And Jeff kind of felt like it'd be better for me to be her revenge. And that'd be how I was introduced. And the only thing I didn't really, I guess, particularly care for was how it was just done away with so quickly and without explanation. or me getting my revenge. She just kind of dumped me and, you know, went for Grado. And what's he got that I ain't got? But yeah, like it was quite fun. Quite fun.
Another question I got, you know, we were talking about Abyss. What are your thoughts on all the hardcore stuff? Because we all know he loves barbed wire maskers and all that kind of stuff.
It's not for me, but it has a place in wrestling. And if you do it right, you know, the right way and set it up correctly, then, you know, it like I said, it has a place. You know, if you go to a show and that's all you see is three or four matches where they're beating each other with light tubes and doing all kinds of crazy, ridiculous stuff to each other, that's not pro wrestling to me. But if two guys have been going at it, you know, and just about killing each other, and now it's time for them to settle this once and for all, that's where your hardcore matches and your blood feud type matches, you know, come in.
Exactly. I was just about to say, it's kind of, you know, what you would want it to build up to at that point, especially with Abyss being who he is. But I know you mentioned earlier, you mentioned Jeff Jarrett. What do you think about him getting inducted to the Hall of Fame? Was that a surprise to you?
I didn't mention that. yeah, it was, you know, kind of the way things happened. But and I've seen a lot of people, you know, talk about what his WWE career, you know, amounted to, and you know, take stabs at him, and really it has no merit. You know what that man's done in his entire career is what they look at. And you know, to go from USWA to, you know, WWE to starting his own company, TNA, which is now Impact Wrestling. How could you not? You know, how could you avoid that? And so what if he has demons? There's a lot of wrestlers, a lot of guys that we look up to that are our heroes that have had demons. And I have nothing but respect for Jeff, you know, because he saw something in me when a lot of people didn't. So, you know, kudos to him. I'm really happy for him, and wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely. I know earlier we were talking about the fight card a little bit, and you say you called the main event a little bit as far as
Yep, Donald Cerrone and Yancy Medeiros.
Oh yeah, yeah. I caught the last two matches, the heavyweight match and yeah, Donald Cerrone. And I've been a fan of Cowboys for a while, and the way they were hyping up the Hawaiian kid, I thought he had a chance, but Donald Cerrone, you know what I'm saying, showed his butt. And,
well, what was cool about that fight, he just fought on the card that Devin and I were at here in Detroit when they did the UFC here.
Taking all of Devin's lines today.
And then they had and then the cool thing with that fight is they just, like, how – you could see, like, the mutual respect between them. Because, like, after the fight was over, after Medeiros got knocked out, you know, he hopped the fence and then went and hugged Cerrone's grandma or whatever. It was just kind of cool to see, like – just like the mutual respect, because most of the time people get this stupid idea when it comes to fighting, like everybody, like, you got to hate the guy. Dude, it's fucking business,
but
dude.
But a sport of it.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm trying to beat you because you've got a bigger name than me and there's money. pretty much, that sums it up. Plus, it was a big win for Cerrone being that he was off four straight losses.
Right. Oh. Coming from a pro wrestling background, they hugged a lot, almost too much. It's hard to tell a good story when you're hugging that much. You
yeah.
Got people crying because, you know, oh, they're really friends. They really like each other. Oh, he just punched him. What? I'm confused.
I thought you was cool.
And then they get back up and hug again. It's like, okay, all right, whatever.
Right, so as a pro wrestler, man, like, how much do you watch MMA and – how much do you get into MMA as a pro wrestler? Do you watch it differently as a pro wrestler that someone that's never, you know, been a pro wrestler might watch it?
Also, do you have any fight background experience yourself?
Yeah, I was an amateur wrestler in high school.
Okay.
That was as close as I come.
That counts. It actually does. Yeah. Boxing, wrestling considered mixed martial arts.
I feel like I can grapple with, you know, some of the best of them. As far as how I view MMA, I don't know. I've never been in anybody else's shoes viewing MMA, but it's fun to watch. You know, it's like for me, boxing, you know, is no longer fun to watch, but I can watch a guy kick kick a guy, slam him, choke him out, you know, and there's all these options here. My bad, Mr. Boxer Man.
Hey, man, I've done both, so it's all good.
There are a lot of guys that transition from, you know, wrestling to MMA. You know, you got your Brock, you got your Punks. Then you got it the other way around. You got your Tom Lawlers. You got your, what's his name?
Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Yep. You got Shayna Baszler. You got Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey.
Coming to WWE. Do you think that being a star on the MMA level automatically certifies you as you should be a top dog in WWE?
I don't. Because I've seen work punches happen in UFC, you know, and that's one thing that I can't say is, as a trained professional wrestler, I know a fake punch when I see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when Brock Lesnar hit Randy Couture,
I was at that fight.
I'm just sitting there looking like, okay, he barely grazed him. Come on now, guys. Like, if you're gonna do it, lay it in, and you gotta make it count, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying all MMA is fake or anything like that. But
you know when you see one.
Sometimes there's a fix thrown in there, and then, you know, in order to keep good ratings, why not? That's what Vince does. That's how everything, you know, evolved to where it is now.
I think everything is rigged. The NBA, the NHL. Hold on, I got a text. The Illuminati said they outside.
you got to watch. The thoughts and views.
Ain't nothing rigged here.
The views and thoughts of
baseball,
Tony Thunder, Tony Thunder.
Football, hockey, it's all real. It's all real. They really competing.
They just text him on his flip phone.
They come out with entrance music. Yeah. They come out with entrance musics and with the pyros, with theme songs, and they got their own gimmicks, but it's all real.
So
now the views and opinions expressed by Tony Thunder aren't necessarily those of Knockout and Precursor Podcast Detroit.
Damn, you about killed that.
As a wrestler, do you still watch wrestling?
Yeah. Whenever I'm home and can tune in, yeah. I still have some catching up to do. I haven't watched NXT for I don't know how long, but yeah, like I try to catch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and I mean, honestly, I got friends on there, so why wouldn't I?
What are some of your favorite guys there that you would like to work with? Or that you're, you know.
I don't know. I feel like I could be that guy for Cena, you know what I'm saying, one time. And, you know, maybe Randy Orton. And Braun just intrigues me. I really, really, really dig that guy. He nice. Has turned from, like, just this big, boring, I don't know, to like
to get these cool hands. Now.
Yeah, get these hands, like singing with a giant bass.
That's what I was about to say. What the fuck? And he broke the string trying to strum the thing.
That was awesome. You know, just watching him and some of the stuff that they do with him, I know that part excites me. And honestly, in my opinion, if they were smart and listened to their fans, he'd be the way to go for Mania with Brock.
I agree completely.
Trying to go back to Roman, you know. Roman's had his run, and until it's time for it to come around again, you can't really keep forcing that on people.
Absolutely. Now, I know I'm owed some water poured on me. And I know the chamber's coming up this weekend. Are we doing predictions tonight, fellas, or what are we doing?
We might as well since it's this weekend, but.
We kind of got to it, the topic. You know, yeah.
That works for me, man.
Yeah. What are we putting on the line this time? Because I know y'all got to dump some water on me soon, but it's cold outside, right?
So Kong can know what's going on. We do this thing called the water bet. Everybody makes their picks. We did it for – what pay-per-view was that? That was Rumble, right?
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Royal Rumble. So we did it for the Rumble. We did it between TakeOver and Royal Rumble, and whoever got the least amount right has to buy the winner dinner and get soaked. There's this thing called the Wheel of Water, so you spin it, and however it lands – that's how you get soaked. And Tony happened to be the biggest loser.
See, what happened was they wouldn't let me change, right?
Because, look here, bro. You were
when I first walked in. No, see, look. Even though Jeff Hardy didn't even come out, because we did surprise entrance, you know, for an extra
point
or
whatever.
That's
what won it for me.
Hey, you know what?
No, hold on, wait. Hold on, wait. Before, hold on, wait. Whoa. Hold up.
Okay.
You're going to have to give Kong a backstory about this one because he don't really know about that. So you're going to have to go into detail.
I'll explain it.
I just wanted to say they cheated me because they wouldn't let me change my pick.
And they said, oh, Jeff Hardy already ordered roster, so you can put him as a, you know, as a surprise
entry.
And he still ain't come out. But anyway, when I changed my answer, it was too late to change it back, so I couldn't get my answer.
You changed it.
They cheated me.
We let you change it to Kenny Omega.
He's lying. He's lying. All right, so tell her about how.
Look, so
hold on. I have to at least tell why he's so angry. So it came down to the wire.
No. I'm telling this story. Fuck you. Look. Mr. Kong, man, let's talk for a minute, man. Look, we all have dreams, right?
That's a great way to start this.
We do. We all beautiful have dreams. Segue. And there's certain people that when we have the chance to meet them, we want to, like, get a nice little hug from them, right? So as a kid, I was 14 years old, man. I was 14. I was a child. I'm down in Atlanta.
He was a 6'2" child, by the way.
That's not the point.
With a I've beard. Been
there. I've been there.
You know what? That might be why this didn't go the way I wanted it to. But I was a child. I'm down in Atlanta visiting my sister, and just so happens that, oh, WWE is going to be there the next day. Oh, and guess who's doing the autograph signing at Six Flags? Trish Stratus, one of my favorite women in WWE history. So I wait in line with me and my little sister to go get a little autograph from Trish Stratus. I get my autograph. I was like, Trish, can I have a hug? She said, no. So at that point, I hated Trish Stratus. That point on.
I gotta tell you, she retweeted me that day.
She tweeted you back?
Retweeted me.
So what she's...
She didn't say nothing. She just retweeted it.
So she still didn't acknowledge me.
She still didn't acknowledge me. She thought it was funny.
Look, all I wanted was a hug, right? And she said, no. So at that point, I hated Trish Stratus. Lita was my girl from that point on.
Makes sense.
They were tied up.
So they were tied up.
No, fuck you. So Royal Rumble, right? Me and him are tied.
Because I'm the
white
guy, that's why.
So one of the tiebreakers was, who's going to be a surprise entrance in the Women's Royal Rumble? He picked Trish Stratus.
I took the sure pick.
I picked Kelly Kelly. She was there.
And I picked Peyton Royce thinking, they're going to call her up. You know, she's on the roster already. They'll bring her up for the Royal Rumble.
Do we need to bump this show a half an hour so we can all get dinner beforehand?
That's not... I could eat. I'm always...
Lots of chip bags.
And it's not Kyle this time, hot damn it. Kyle's not doing it into the mic. I just want that fucking known now.
But all I'm saying
is
Kyle,
y'all.
All I'm saying is I lost the Rumble challenge because of Trish Stratus, but I'm already pissed off at her. So, yeah.
All right, he was mad at Trish Stratus for not giving him a hug. She the reason he lost the bet. So,
fuck Trish Stratus.
Well, technically,
no.
Tony...
I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean
hashtag that. Hashtag unfuck Trish Stratus.
If I could only have videotaped his reaction.
Oh no! Wait, like. The craziest stuff was this dude, Derek, calling everybody that was about to come out. Eddie J was just calling out everybody.
Rey Mysterio's coming up next.
Boom, Rey Mysterio comes out. This guy, the next guy who's going to come out. Yeah, the next guy who's going to come out
he
was a former European champion. I'm like,
he called the fucking
European champion to come out, Matt Hardy.
He called
come
the
out.
Fucking Hurricane.
He called the Hurricane.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yes. The number they came out, he called.
Maybe he has a source.
He must know somebody.
He has a source.
Right, that motherfucker.
He knows something because he called him to the T, to the number and everything. It's like,
who calls the Hurricane and Rey Mysterio and gets it right? Who says a former European champion and one comes out? Like,
Ed. Man. Well, I'm looking at the card. There's only four matches that's on the card right now as far as Elimination Chamber comes. So, do you still want to do this?
Whoa.
It's five. Didn't they Apollo and Titus?
Okay, that's another one.
But we can still go through them. I mean, we're not doing a water bet on this one, are we? We're not doing another one until
we might as well just
not till Mania.
Wait till Mania.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wait till Mania.
We'll wait till Mania.
All right,
we're gonna wait till Mania.
We can still do the predictions and shit.
Wait till Mania.
You want to do predictions?
Sure.
Are you up to date, Cole?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll start off with our illustrious guest. First
that
match
needs
to
be another bell for Devin. It's illustrious.
The word of the day is illustrious. That's the word of the day. Illustrious.
Our illustrious guest.
The quintessential illustrious.
Our first match, we have Woken Matt Hardy versus... Time out. Were you there when he was broken?
Yes.
I just got in, and he was on his way out.
Oh, okay. So, did you have any interactions, any thoughts on the broken Matt Hardy character in the... The Broken Universe.
That sums it up.
It really does.
But if it gets over, it gets over. What can you do? You know, just because I don't necessarily think it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, millions of people obviously love it. So,
okay. So we have Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. Your pick, sir.
Hopefully, Bray. I feel like, you know, he's been there a while and he's paid his dues and, you know, he's done everything that he's been asked and he's even stayed off the injury list for a while now, and, you know, and I just hope they finally get their head out of their butts and do something with him. Don't be dinging me.
I'm sorry. I don't.
I want to piggyback off that because I think Bray Wyatt deserves the win too.
He does.
I don't know if y'all seen it, but there's this thing floating around the internet of how many matches he's won in the last 3 years.
It was like three.
No, it was like 16 or something out of like hundreds.
Don't.
Well,
don't.
All you gotta look at. I'm hoping he win this one, but if this was gonna be a bet, I would say Matt's gonna win.
Yeah.
But like. Because I want to go for the story. I want to go for not what I want, but what I think is going to happen, which is the problem. That's what I usually always do. I want Bray to win. I'll put it like that. I'm hoping.
Dude,
Bray
the crappy
so
part.
So is that your pick?
Yes.
To further even push that home is look at this time last year.
There's nothing on the line on this one, man. So
all right, don't matter.
This time last year, I mean, dude was champion. Like,
and then they
and look where it's at now.
And they screwed that up too. I think Matt Hardy wins this one.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Matt because Bray don't win wars.
That's true.
He win matches, not wars.
Fair enough.
Kyle?
I think Bray should win, but I think Matt's going to win.
Okay. All right. Our next match, we'll start off with our guest. We have, as I call her, Asuka.
Asuka.
The bazooka.
Naito.
Versus Nia Jax. If Jax wins, she will be added to the women's championship match at WrestleMania 34.
Man, I don't know. As much as I like Asuka's Asuka's undefeated streak, I like Nia Jax that much more. And I believe that she should have been in the title picture.
I couldn't agree more, damn it.
Absolutely no way she should have been champ by now, you know what I'm saying, and dominating all them little ladies.
I couldn't agree more.
She's not like most girls.
Is that your pick, Kyle?
No, I'm picking Asuka, but I think Nia Jax should
That's
win.
What I was saying. Like, I can't pick what I want. I got to pick what
Look,
I think
dude,
because
let's,
I would,
let's be honest. That's exactly Asuka what I is want. Not going to lose through WrestleMania. She's going to go to Mania, and whoever she fights, she's going to take the belt from
her. I feel the same way. Asuka is not going to lose at Elimination Chamber match.
Like Asuka?
Asuka.
Casper Asuka. The friendly.
Whoa. Let me smack this microphone again.
She's not going to lose at something like Fastlane or something like that. It's going to be like a WrestleMania. Or
Damn. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Here's the thing, though. If she loses by disqualification or anything like that, does it count against her record?
Yes.
She still hasn't been pinned, though.
If so. Nia so her Jax, record is it just says if Nia Jax wins. That's all it says.
So Nia Jax could win without Asuka being, without pinning her or submitting her. So
now, an idea I heard thrown out that would make sense for that to happen is if – what if you had – you know, they're trying to do the whole thing with Alexa Bliss and her being friends or whatever. What if Alexa Bliss tries to come out to help her ass or something and fucks it up somehow and gets
– A double Kano is still a draw. So
that's a draw that doesn't count.
That's a draw. She doesn't win, though.
Nobody wins.
Man, screw you guys for still my thunder. I said Nia Jax is going to win.
That's shoot. My name. next match.
I say Nia Jax wins, but she doesn't pin her, and she gets in the match.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
So, our next match, Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickey James versus Sasha Banks versus Sonya Deville for the Raw Women's Championship.
Ladies Chamber.
Mr. Kong.
Based on history. If the champion loses on Monday Night Raw, 9 times out of 10, they'll retain at the pay-per-view. So I'm going to go with Alexa.
Kev?
Alexa.
Kyle?
Alexa, because I don't see any of the rest of them getting the belt.
Alexa?
I guess it's a unanimous.
Unanimous? All right.
If Paige was in the match,
I think that's
like
the
Paige.
First unanimous right there.
I'm still so bummed about that with Paige, though, because I liked what they were doing with that, and it sucks the way that she had to go out like that.
Wait, did you like it on Raw or SmackDown? Because it's basically the same thing.
I liked Raw. I think SmackDown's a carbon copy.
Whoa.
Only because it comes on Tuesdays.
Yeah, you watch it.
You're here on Tuesdays.
You hold your tongue.
You hold your tongue. All righty. Our main event, we have...
The Man's Chamber.
That's not very comfortable.
Seven-man Elimination Chamber match. We have Braun Strowman versus Elias Samson. I'm still calling him Samson, damn it. Finn Balor.
It's not?
No, it's, no. Just, it's Elias now.
Oh. Apollo is just Apollo now.
You know, when you get called up to the main roster, you lose your first or last name. Oh, you know okay. How it goes. So Braun Strowman versus Elias versus Finn Balor versus John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Seth frickin' Rollins versus Tony Thunder's favorite guy, The Miz.
Oh, okay, my God.
I got a question for that.
Well, I don't.
Why? Okay, look.
Damn it. Look. Here you go. You just took up the rest of the show.
Are they starting off with three or are they using five chambers?
No. They started off with three. That's the thing, though.
Okay.
Okay. The Miz lost a match to be the first person. The person he played, it doesn't matter if you're the first person or the second person or the third.
Microphone.
Oh, first the person. Microphone. First, second, or third, you're still the first person in there.
Exactly.
So I understand what was the point.
I don't. Fill TV time. I don't know. But, okay. Mr. Kong, your thoughts?
I want Braun Strowman to win, obviously. I think it's his time. That. I think he's super over. The stuff that they can do with him, he has, the world at his feet. But I'm pretty sure they're going to go ahead and, keep riding the Roman Reigns train and, give him the big W.
All right. I'll go next. ABR. Anybody but Roman.
Okay.
But it's going to be Roman.
Okay.
Mr. Thunder.
Roman as well. It's my turn. All right. So, look, I'm going to say Braun. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like Brock been beefing with Braun more than Roman lately, especially with, the triple threat and all the stuff they went through with that. So, it looks like they could be leaning towards Braun. But again, Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns. But John Cena's in that match, too. So I'm gonna go with Braun, man. But I would like my surprise pick, who I think would. Nah, I'm gonna go with Braun.
All right, Kyle.
I want to go with Braun, dude, because I think it's probably gonna be Roman, but I want it to be Braun.
I want it to be Finn, then.
Hey,
you wanted to be Finn, but who do you think is gonna?
Would he be the demon?
Roman?
No, he's not gonna be a demon. Demon can't lose. But he ain't gonna be a demon now.
The demon has lost.
The story that you could tell with Finn and Brock at Mania, that would be worse.
Beating the demon.
Yeah, but the idea of such a tiny guy conquering such a big guy, irresistible.
I picked him to win the Rumble. I thought that's what they should have did. I was betting on what I wanted to happen, and I picked Finn to win the Rumble. Which is why they cheated me. Because, see, I had repicked the person I wanted to win. I said Nakamura. They was like, it's too late. It's already.
You lying son of a bitch.
And, right. Yeah.
But, so you're going with?
Roman.
Okay.
He going with Finn.
All right.
I lost my pick and Finn. He going with Finn.
All right. I want to thank our guest, Congo Kong, for joining us in studio, man. It's truly a pleasure, man.
Definitely.
You have any bookings coming up, especially here in the Michigan area, that you want to? if you need a moment to go through your phone and pull them up,
that would be it.
Okay, all right. Well, while you're pulling up your bookings, we'll start off with our stuff. Kev, you got anything coming up, man? And if not, throw your social media out there, sir.
Actually, not really. But you know what? My wedding anniversary party is coming up real soon.
Uh-oh.
Y'all invited.
We are?
There it is.
Yes.
Will there be alcohol?
Yes.
I will be there.
Let them barbecue.
But, yeah, on Instagram and Twitter, it's _ May in the 80s. On Facebook, it's Kevin D. Russ. And add the Reality Era News page.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And if you don't follow the page or like the page, if you don't like our podcast page and you on that group, you got to go. We were supposed to bend it at that, right? You got to go.
We'd lose, everybody.
Know.
Let them know.
Kyle.
So, nobody's mentioned it yet, but we got the fights that we're doing down for TXC next month that we're going to be gearing up for. So, be on the lookout. We've got Adrian Hardjabij, which is on the list for the UFC Contender Series, is going to be on the show.
We got a surprise Hall of Famer coming up, too, this weekend, right?
Lord willing, hopefully that works out. We're supposed to go to the Comic-Con this weekend, and hopefully we'll have Ted DiBiase on with us. So, some big things in the works. So be on the lookout on the Knockouts and Three Counts podcast page on Facebook.
Yeah, like that's it where you can
find
it.
It all. And share it with some motherfuckers, man. Yeah, add us on please. Instagram.
Wake up and brush your teeth to it.
That works, too.
Mr. Thunder, any bookies coming up, man?
March 3rd, I gotta fight Cole Daniels, man. I got to fight him. We fighting. If it comes, man, let me tell you like this. If the doctor clears you, sir, you go wish he didn't. That's all I got to say about that.
Is that the guy that missed the table?
Excuse me?
Is that the guy that missed the table?
That is not Marcus Everett. That is not Marcus Everett.
I know that guy.
Yeah. Shout out to Marcus Everett. Last match we had, I don't know if y'all saw it, but in the middle of the match, we got in each other's face and said, you want to do this, you want to do this? And we broke down and played a game of chess.
All right,
guys. What the fuck?
Ladies and gentlemen, picture. Pro wrestling.
I seen that picture. I was like, okay.
Yeah, man. It went down. Show tournament. Oh.
Social media.
Yeah, I'm Tony Thunder everywhere. Tony Thunder everywhere except for Twitter. I'm the Tony Thunder because y'all already know I'm coming.
And you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. That's one word. Hey, if you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Check out their inventory.
And Randy, what's the code?
One nine three zero nine.
He cut his mic back off.
Go get you a car. All right. Mr. Kong.
Yes, sir.
Any bookings coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, especially in this area, Detroit area. I'm actually in Windsor on March 3rd for an Impact/Border City Wrestling co-produced show.
Nice.
And then I'll return again on the 17th for NPWA. I won't say what those letters stand for. You just have to look it up for NPWA because I'm really not sure. I think it might be.
I think that's your boy.
Midwest.
That's Metro Pro.
See, it's not Metro Pro. He already cussed me out for saying it was Metro Pro. I think it's Midwest Pro Wrestling Alliance. I'm not sure.
That's awesome. About,
right? And that sounds off. That sounds close. I'm gonna guess Wrestling Alliance are the last two. I don't know about the first two.
It's wrestling here in Michigan.
Wrestling,
right? Exactly.
That Detroit wrestling.
Oh, on the 11th, XICW.
There you go.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, right here in town. One of my favorite places to go. See, I'm looking. It's a big, long.
We need to start doing that with guests, so we're not so fucking discombobulated.
Yeah. Who we got next week, y'all? No.
In April, I return April 29th to XICW. And that's it for now. So, yeah, promoters.
Are you going to be down at that Impact show down there at Mania?
You know, I don't know. They haven't told me yet.
Okay.
Sometimes I get phone calls and emails, you know, a week beforehand, and I find out, and I'm just like, all right, I'll drop whatever it is that I had planned and go because that's what my contract says to.
Well, tell these promoters how to get in contact with you, man.
You can reach me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, whatever. At Real Congo Kong on Twitter, Steve Wilson or Congo Kong/Juggernaut Osiris on Facebook. And CongoCyrus78 on Instagram, or you can email me even at Osiris78, that's OSYRIS78 at gmail.com, to find out some booking information. Let's see if we can coagulate.
Word of the day.
Word of the day is coagulate.
We already have one.
That's the word for
illustrious.
Next week. Illustrious. Two words of the day.
But yeah, get a hold of me.
Thinking.
Let's talk. And you know, I hope to go out there and you know, spread my name, there spread my brand, I guess. You know, any fans you feel like contacting me on there? That's fine too. I may answer. I may not. Depends on how weird your profile looks. Just going to be honest, if it looks a little suspect, probably not, because I've already had a couple issues with people that I never met on the other side of the country talking about, I miss talking to you. And
oh, wow. No.
All in your inbox. Yeah, yeah,
looks like I'm not the only one with stalkers.
Sir, did you know that you were a prince of a Nigerian country?
You got to send them $500. Right.
What is your bank account number?
Any last words for the fans out there real quick? Or
For the fans, I'd say thank you. You know, without us, we'd be – or without us. Without you, we'd be some weirdos, you know, rolling around with each other in spandex.
I mean, but without you, you wouldn't have fans. So, I mean
– this is true.
This is true.
But, yeah, also, you know, to the young inspired – is it inspiring? No, it's aspiring.
Aspiring.
Pro wrestlers, I would say, if this is for you – pursue it. Pursue it hard. Pursue it with everything you got. Don't give up. Just because you get a couple no's don't mean you'll never get a yes. You gotta be open to change and willing to conform to new stuff. And, I mean, as long as you had the right training, I feel like the world is at your feet.
Okay. Anything else, fellas?
I think we got
it. We good?
I think we got it.
All right. With all that being said.
Fuck your couch!
Okay.